anyway, it's really a privilege to be here, and I tell you, you are very fortunate to live in this beautiful part of the earth. To me, it's a little bit of what heaven will look like. I tell kids in Florida, many of you, who've never seen snow, and it's really, every year we have what we call this Bible Bowl. And we have runoffs, and our top teams, we take five or six of the teams, and we head to Colorado for the big National Bible Bowl. And their pathfinders from all over the Hillsborough Division together, and they compete to see who knows more about a particular section of the Bible. And boy, it's really fun. They'll get out there on Thursday, and they'll go up and just into the mountains and the Rockies and just love you know, frost in the snow. They just can't get over snow. They just never seen it. So, but I tell them that when this is all said and done on this earth, and I really believe that's going to be very soon, folks. I really believe it's going to be very, very soon. I believe Jesus is coming very soon. You can't open the Word of God and not know that. And if we're lost, it's not going to be because Jesus didn't tell us. It's not going to be that. We cannot blame Him for not saying, well, I wish you had told me. No, He's told us everything. And it's our part, the portion, to open God's Word. But I tell young people, I said, you know, do you want to catch up with me when I this thing ends and we get to heaven? And Jesus tells us that He's going to build us a hole in the city. Now, some holes are going to be bigger than others, and that's okay with me. I believe my father-in-law, God rest his soul, is going to have a pretty good size home up there. Bill May and Cyril Miller started the Amazing Facts program many, many, many years ago. And I always admired my father-in-law. He never took one penny of the royalties from Amazing Facts. And he could have. And they offered it to him many times. But he said, no, I want the Lord to invest in a home in the kingdom. And I really believe that when we get there, Elder May will have a pretty good sized home. But then the Lord's going to say, here's a hammer and some nails and boards. You go build your own city or your own country home. And I believe my country home is going to look something like this with the mountains and the snow, because I love the mountains and the snow. I was born and raised in West Virginia, and I love the ambience of mountains and snow. It's just something majestic. And, you know, and like I was telling you this morning, I love the people in Florida. You know, they're wonderful people. But the state, to me, is just one of the most boring states you can live in. I mean, the road between Orlando and Miami, which I've been down in my 25 years in Florida, counted up the other day, I've made 484 trips to Miami and back in those years. And the bulk of the constituents of Florida actually live in the south part of Florida, in the Orlando, in the Miami-Dade area. There are 39 churches within just the Miami area, just 39 churches within the Miami area. And there's like 40 within a 40-mile radius of the Miami area. It's a huge metropolitan of Adventism in Miami. And the majority of our pathfinders and our little adventures live in the Miami area.
So you can have a lot of competition.
Yes, right. And of course, all the churches, the whole state, all the churches in Florida are a conglomerate of many, many ethnic groups. You know, we have West Indies, and we have, we have African Americans, and we have Caucasian. We have, churches of the Jewish faith and come Adventists that are still considered citizens of the Jewish faith. We have, Korean, we have Asia. I mean, it's just a melting pot of all that. And it's going to be like what it's going to be in the kingdom. It's going to be a melting pot of all of us. But the one common bond is that we love Jesus. And it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful day. But I tell kids, I'm going to go into a little planet called Telstar, and I'm going to build a home there. And it's going to look like Petersburg, Alaska, or Wrangell. Will look like these beautiful, beautiful area. But you're very fortunate. And like I said, I love the people of Florida, but God calls you where He wants you to go. And you go argue with God. And He said, many years ago, Chico, I want you to go to Florida. I said, Laura, all places. I mean, hey, I was born in West Virginia. What do you want? He said, you go to Florida and you work down there. And so we just have, as we do, wonderful people, wonderful Adventist people all over the world. It's wherever you go, when you meet an Adventist, you know that you're home. And, it's like with Pathfinders. Pathfinders is a big family. And you know, wherever you go, it's home. A year from August, we are having our big North American Division Camporee again up in Wisconsin. 38,000 we're expecting there. And that's a city, 38,000. Can you imagine 38,000 people descending on Petersburg? And,
Our friends told us that you might have been there too when the hangars were hit.
Yes, right. Oh, that was, I tell you what, that was a miracle to live through. I mean, you saw this huge tornado forming. And I said, this is going to be bad. You know, we have 34,000 kids there. And the meteorologists, we were listening into the weather radio and NOAA, and they said, if you're in the Oshkosh area, take shelter immediately. And I mean, we got all these kids in tents, and I mean, cook stoves, and we said, what is going on? And so, you know, but what was so wonderful, what I love about young people is, these young people didn't panic. You saw them in groups praying, holding hands, praying. Said, Lord, we ask thy blessings. And whatever thy will be done. And they were there praying, holding hands, praying. We adults were, what's going to happen? What's going to... And the kids were there just praying in their tents, on their knees, and so on. And that tornado came right towards the campsite, or camp through the Experimental Aircraft Association camp. They came right there, and all of a sudden, it just split right in two. Went around the camp. Now, we felt the wind. Went around the camp, and you could see it actually forming at the end of the camp. I tell you, kids that were lived in that, and he personally will never forget that. That was something. I've had many experiences like that. We were getting ready to baptize some kids one time in a lake in Florida, and it was so dark over there in the distance, and when it was lightning, he said, I wonder if we should be baptizing out here in the middle of the water. But we just felt like we should go ahead, and all of a sudden, it was dark, it was cloudy, you know, and it was real cloudy over there, and all of a sudden, the sun came through the clouds, these dark clouds, and the sun shone through, and we baptized, I think it was 30 kids, and as soon as we got through and got into shelter, it started pouring down rain and lightning. Folks, that doesn't just happen. That was a miracle. I'll tell you, there's just a lot of stories like that. But I just came here. You know, I'm not a preacher, by the way, because on Pathfinder Sabbaths, the kids get up and do their thing, you know, and all that stuff. And by the time I get up to preach, it's usually, 12:30, 12:45. So I just have a little story, and that's what I'm going to tell you this morning, just a little story. In the Miami area, I'll tell you what, these big cities, Miami. The church is the life of these people. They get to church at 8 o'clock in the morning, and they stay there until 11 o'clock at night. Because they just love it. There's no place for them to go. So they come, and they have fellowship dinner, and then after the service, which usually ends about 2:30, they have a fellowship lunch, and then they have their AY meeting, and then in the evening they have a Pathfinder meeting, and every one of these churches in Miami have a Pathfinder club. They're just dedicated to that. And then after that they have fellowship social, and then they go home. And then Sunday sometimes they come back to the church and whatever. But it's just a way of life for them. It just really is. It's just different. But I'll tell you, a week ago, I was there for our South Area Bible Bowl, what we call it, the runoff down there. We had 20 teams there from the Miami-Dade area, and it was a deluge. I tell you, I've never seen it rain. It wasn't lightning or storm, it was just a rainstorm. And I've never seen it, and even the church members told me when I got there at the Maranatha Church, which is the largest church in the South, and they said, we've never seen it rain. Well, I pulled up my little truck up there, you know, and I had my uniform on, and jumped out of the truck into 8 inches of water. 8 inches of water. It was just running like a river. And so I said, oh my. So I went to the restroom there and wrung out the socks. I said, I'm not going to put those on. So I got up there in my uniform, no socks in my shoes. Several kids said, is this the new uniform? I said, yeah, we don't wear socks anymore. So several of them took their socks off.
They were all
wet. They were all wet. Yeah, they said, we'd be glad to do it. But anyway, I really praise God for the privilege of working with these children. Joshua 1, if you have your Bible, Joshua 1, 6 to 9. Joshua is my most favorite of all people in the Bible. I love Joshua the best. I tell you, there's something about this man who was a man of God. I love the story of Esther, too. By the way, at the big division camp read next year, the story of Esther will be played out. And I tell you, last time it was about Joseph. Man, I tell you, I still get goosebumps to see that visuality that they portray. This year it's going to be, next year it's going to be on the story of Esther. I love this story too. But in Joshua 1, verse 6, it said, be strong and of good courage, for under this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do accordingly to the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right, to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And then in verse 9 it says, have not I commanded thee? Again, Joshua says, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. One tale is told by a little adventure, little Tad. And he was a bouncing little five-year-old. He was just what we call eager beavers. I'm going to tell you, pythons used to go from, 10 years old to 16. Now they go from diapers on the way up. I'm going to tell you, we have little kids that have these little lambs, they call them. And they're just three-year-olds and up. And so we cover the whole thing. I'm going to tell you something, folks. If we don't get them, Satan will. If we don't keep them occupied and we don't start reading the stories of the Bible, and we don't get them interested in the great Word of God and His love of Jesus, we're going to lose them. And so we do everything we can. So we start them off at three, but little Fad was just a little adventure, 5 years old. And he and his mom strapped him into the car seat, and they were on the way to the Pathfinder meeting at Pine Hills, close to Orlando. And so the mom's mother had an accident and she couldn't get around. She had broken her ankle. And so she stopped the little SUV they were in, and she told Dad, she said, no, stay there. Of course, he was trapped in. And said, I'm going to go in and give Grandma some groceries. So she went in, gave Grandma the groceries because Grandma couldn't get out and get them. Came back out, and Dad was gone. Just like that. I mean, she wasn't gone 30 seconds, 40 seconds. Got back out. Well, she thought maybe he'd gone into the house and they looked. This was Sunday morning. And at 9 o'clock, I got the call. Said from our Pine Hills director. Said told me that Chico went missing one of our adventures. I said, what do you mean missing an adventure? And she said, well, and she gave me the story. And I said, have you looked everywhere? Yeah. Wonderful thing about Pathfinders and the love of people. The grapevine, Edmund's grapevine, grew up to Orlando. And we had pathfinders from all over Orlando and the metropolitan Orlando area meeting at the little church down there in South Orlando, and we started the search for that. And then, of course, the Sheriff's Department got involved, and hours went by. No word. We learned more about this little boy. His favorite song was Jesus' Love is a Bubbling Over. He was an autistic boy. He couldn't speak. He could hear, but he couldn't speak. I remember seeing him several times when I'd go to those club meetings. But he'd always say, he'd tap me on the shoulder. And he'd want to say, Jesus' Love is a Bubbling Over. He loved that. Jesus' Love is a Bubbling Over. He loved that song. Anyway. We searched for him, prayed for him. This was a Sunday. Sunday night came, still no fan. the sheriff of Orange County, Kevin Berry, got involved in the search. And I remember talking to him, and he said, "Pastor, we're going to find this little boy." Tears in his eyes. He said, "We're going to find him. We're going to find him." And he said, "I appreciate you all very much and the prayers that you all put up." It was a great witness to those police and the firefighters and paramedics that were there. The news, of course, the news was there, and they were all there. And then search went all night. We had pathfinders out searching all night. And this was down in a remote area. This was in a subdivision, a division, housing all around. He said, we thought, of course, in Orlando, you don't have that here, but I tell you, Orlando, man, I tell you, they got predators. And you look on the internet and on the streets in Orlando, there might be 5 sexual predators living right there on one street. They're just everywhere. They pop up and we thought, man, we hope some sexual predator just come by and grab that. We were just praying, "Lord, don't let that happen to this little boy that loves you so much." Well, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday, I was at the grandmother's house, and we were praying and talking, and the mother was there. The mother, by the way, was a former Marine, and she had already served a term and been to Iraq and come home, and she was just really concerned. But anyway, we were there, and they were searching all the retention ponds around the area. And sure enough, right in front of the grandmother's house, they found me a fag in 4 feet of water. I had lost his life and drowned. And I tell you, it was a devastating thing. And even though Orlando's a big community, when something like that happens, they pour their heart out. It's just like this young 12-year-old. I tell you, folks, over the last 25 years since I've been there, we have lost 31 pathfinders and adventures. Accidents, hideous diseases, and I try to visit the gravesites of those pathfinders that are buried in Florida. And I've been to see Thad several times, his little gravesite, little 5-year-old, and the service, they asked me to have the service, and I'm like, I get choked up. I tell you, I couldn't get through that service, and it's hard for me to talk about it today. But one of Thad's favorite verses was always Joshua. I remember just talking with him. He couldn't talk back, but I said, "Do you like Joshua?" I told a story in his church one time about Joshua, not the Battle of Jericho, but the Battle of Ai. That's quite a battle. You've got to read that. How he pretended that he was weak and fooled the enemy. And the enemy came up and took them on God's command. But he loved that story. And he always liked me to read the book of Joshua to him. And so his thing. Folks, we lose people, and it's sad. We have the little adventures and pathfinders that are there at the church for his funeral. And they were lining up as a little casket. That little white casket came on Monday. Saluted that little white casket. And those little kids, tears in their eyes. And it was a very sad day. But as I said in my sermon that day, we don't have anything to fear. Jesus has come back. For that, it's just a heartbeat. He closed the little eyes, and again, he'll awaken to see the Master. And then that's the beauty to me of this Advent message, is that Jesus has come. We need to put more emphasis on the Advent and the Sabbath. And, five weeks ago, I was in New York. I don't think you've ever been to William Miller's home. William Miller was very instrumental in beginning the Advent message. He was very instrumental in figuring out the 1216 and 2300 day prophecy. And it was, I don't think you ever heard the story about the believers waiting in 1844 on the Ascension Rock, waiting for the Lord to come, October 22. They thought that was the date. They figured it all out. That was the day that the Lord was coming. And the Ascension Rock, by the way, is part of the William Miller farm. It's right in between William Miller's farmhouse and his little chapel where he started his work. And we've been there many times. But what I really wanted to tell you was right around the corner from William Miller's farm is where he is buried, he and his wife Lucy. And we are told, and I'll tell you, I've been to that gravesite. I was there just 5 weeks ago. You open that little orange gate, it's just a little old cemetery out in nowhere. And you open that little orange gate, it really squeaks, and you tread in there, and there is William Noah's grave. And we're told that two angels, cherubim angels, guard the grave night and day, every day, of William Noah. He thought so much of that man that gave his heart to Jesus. And I can just, when I visit that grave, I just think, boy, there are these two big angels watching me. And they're saying, Chief Eddie, you touch this grave, I break your face. You know? I mean, you just see the big angels up there. And that is always enamored by angels. And God, I've got a lot of angels to rebuild, I won't tell you about it. But what I just wanted to tell you today, folks, is just be strong and good courage, like little Thad, like his mom. His mom was a bulwark of strength. Little Thad's buried there in Woodlawn Memorial Gardens, where a lot of soldiers are buried. There's generals buried there, and there's admirals buried there, and there's majors and privates, and they're all buried there. And there's this little grave. We call him a soldier of Jesus. And that's on his tombstone there. You know, some of these generals, you know, here lies General so-and-so of the 5th Army, you know, blah, blah, blah. And just on that little simple gravestone of his, there lies that, a soldier of Jesus. I love that. I love that. And some of the caretakers that were there taking care of the grave, they said, you know, we've never seen an outpouring of emotion for someone, not even admirals and generals, as we've seen for this little boy who touched so many lives. So young people, you touch lives. I'll tell you what, I've had young people touch my life and turn it around, and it's just amazing. So just be strong and of good courage. And beloved, know that Jesus is coming very, very soon. Very, very soon. Sooner than a lot of people think. I really believe that. If you don't, read 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. Read those closing prophecies of Earth's history. It's amazing. You might not see it so much in this pristine little lovely place that you live in. But until you get in these big cities, you see it. You can see it. You can see it. So be strong and of good courage. God bless you all. Thank you again for being here today.